It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're glad you have joined us.
We are on the other side of a big event that happened in Washington, D.C., this inauguration, and it's been a very interesting time witnessing the transition of power from Barack Obama to Donald Trump. So many emotions were evident over that weekend. Optimism, skepticism, anger, thankfulness, relief, fear, you name it, it was all over the board.
It was, Chris. It was all over the board. It still is all over the board when we're talking to our friends and our neighbors. It seems like this election sharply divided people, and it continues to divide people. And what concerns me, it's created a lot of animosity among different groups of people. And I think we're seeing an unprecedented lack of civility in our culture. Have you ever seen anything like this?
My 9-year-old daughter is interested in politics, and leading up to the election, we would sit in the evenings and watch the news, and I would explain to her what was happening. I don't let her watch the TV now. Because of what they're covering, it's PG-13 at best.
Yes. When a president got in that you didn't like, people would a little bit complain, talk about it, be a little bit sad, but there weren't protests. And this hate that is being spewed. I read an article from a University of California student who said that as an act of protest, he was going to publicly cut off his genitals if Trump built a wall. And then I heard a story coming in this morning on the news where there was a woman sitting next to a man who was a Trump supporter on an airplane.
Right.
And she started yelling at him and getting real hostile with him. And she was mad at him because he didn't believe in climate control.
Mm-hmm.
She asked the flight attendant, "You need to move this man. I cannot sit on this plane next to a Trump supporter." And the flight attendant was like, "Well, ma'am, we can't do that. You don't have the right to do that." She got so hostile that the police came in and escorted her off the plane.
Hmm.
And when she left the plane, the entire plane started clapping and chanting, USA, USA.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Well, it's a good thing this happened on the tarmac, because otherwise at 33,000 feet, they may have just thrown her out.
They probably would have had to land the plane, seriously.
Right.
I've never seen this type of extreme reaction, or maybe we just see it more because of social media and all digital stuff that we have. I don't know about you, but I couldn't even read the headlines after the inauguration because they were just so mean-spirited.
They were, right.
They were terrible. I think there's still a sense from a lot of people who voted from Trump that they're in danger and that there is going to be this type of retribution, like what that lady did to that man on the plane. This business of being so intolerant, and because somebody thinks differently than you, these are symptoms of a culture that needs the transforming power of Christ, maybe more than ever, to deal with this disunity.
And in spite of all of that, so much emotional turmoil, you happen to be in Washington, D.C. for the Christian inaugural ball. Tell us about that.
One of the highlights was that I had a chance to see Dr. Ben Carson again and greet him for a few moments. I think he's brilliant.
And
I love his integrity. He's a great man. But at the time that we were at the ball and everything, I was thinking, okay, so it's going to be like this. We're going to see important people, celebrities. We're going to hobnob and have a great meal. What I didn't anticipate was that so much of what I saw at that ball was an amazing sense of optimism. And because of everything that people are sensing that God is doing, so the theme of the ball was God's mercy. Mercy over judgment. And the people that spoke, person after person, kept talking about mercy. Alveda King spoke, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. She was calling for unity and the end of racial division. She said racial division is Antichrist, which you and I couldn't agree with more.
Right.
But it was a really amazing time of people talking about what is God doing in the spirit. And the fact that even if you felt like your candidate won, we all had a sense in that room of this business that America deserves judging, But God is giving us mercy. And right. So what are we going to do with that mercy if he extends it to us right now? We have a chance in our country to come back to God and to do what is right in his sight instead of in the sight of man.
So that's why you left the ball with a sense of renewed optimism, because of the discussion about God's mercy.
And because there was a spiritual sense. We even prayed in the room that we were in.
In Washington, D.C.?
Yes. This was the same hotel that Reagan got shot in. We were in the room that was going to be one of the first prayer breakfasts. Mm. And so we prayed in that room that the presence of God would be so powerful in that room when people walked in for that prayer breakfast, mm-hmm. that people would sense his presence. When was the last time you hear about people doing this kind of prayer and spiritual support in D.C. like that?
Maybe September 11th, 2001.
Yeah, good point.
But that's been a long time ago.
Right.
Well, we want to talk more on this program about how we respond to the contention that was felt during this election process and the division that we will no doubt see highlighted in the media.
This isn't a political show, so we're not going to talk political solutions here, because you and I are probably not qualified to do that as well. We're not going to talk about who you voted for and why. We're a relationship show, and so what we want to focus on during this time is our response to others post-inaugural and our response to God, because those two are intertwined, aren't they, Chris?
Sure.
If we're not responding to God the correct way, we're not going to respond to people the correct way.
Right.
We can't control the events that are going to unfold, that are currently unfolding, whether those are good or bad, but we can control, and we say this all the time on this program, we can control our reaction to those events. And our goal is to always emulate Christ in all that we do. There are going to be some challenging days to come. I sense, and I know you do, the spiritual warfare that we're feeling, even though there have been some places of relief and this mercy of God that is being extended. But the enemy has a heyday with all the tensions. He can use those tensions to disrupt our relationships, our friend-to-friend, family members, everybody that we are in contact with.
We're doing this program for our benefit as well. Mm-hmm. We all need to keep our emotions in check when we choose to love. It helps to be accountable to each other and our desire to be Christ-like, of course, and show the love of Christ to those who might not show it back. Prime example was in a conversation over the weekend with a friend, and he was beside himself over this process.
Really?
And he lashed out, sitting in my yard, he lashed out against evangelicals, you know, Republicans. Obviously, we know which side of the aisle he was on. He's very angry. And I think the best thing I could have done in that situation, and I did, was let him talk and keep my mouth shut and let him get it out of his system, and hopefully the dialogue will be open later.
But it is important for you to check your emotions during all that, because it would be so easy in the natural just to lash out to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been meditating for the past year on Matthew 5. I always find this chapter quite challenging to live by because it has so many guidelines and commands from Jesus on how we're to live. In the latter part of the scripture, he tells us how to respond to others when they mistreat or hurt him. And the focus is on our reactions, not on what those other people are doing to us or what they're saying to us. Listen to what Jesus says. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more perfectly than others? Do not even the pagans do that? So be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Wow. Challenging words by Jesus. When we come back, more about how to live our lives. Will we choose to love or hate? And how do we do that? Right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. You can learn more from Relationship Dr. Linda Mental on her website, drlindamental.com.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
What do Thomas Jefferson, Agatha Christie, Pope John Paul II, and Princess Diana have in common? Well, these notable individuals and many others, past and present, share the habit of journaling. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda, the relationship doctor, and I've got some tips for you on the value of journaling. Whether you're just writing down a few thoughts or pouring out your heart on paper, journaling has some real benefits, like getting a handle on your emotions or a better understanding of other people or even organizing your priorities. Sometimes reading your older journal notes will help you appreciate the sweet little details of life you enjoyed but maybe have forgotten. One of the best benefits of journaling comes when you look back and you see how the Lord has been there in all your circumstances, directing your steps and taking care of the things that matter to you. If you've not considered journaling before, give it a try and see which of those benefits journaling might bring your way.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and as we move forward in today's program, after the transition of power in Washington, how do we live our lives and treat each other concerning matters of the kingdom of God? We do have a choice, don't we, Dr. Linda?
We absolutely do. We can choose to be bitter and angry or upset or divisive or fearful or worried.
Mm-hmm.
I'm covering most of them, aren't I? And more. Or we can choose the high road, and
right.
We can choose love. And I'm putting the emphasis on choose love. Early signs indicate that the media are not choosing love.
Hmm.
Love is the most evident by the words that come out of our mouth.
Right. There's several scripture guidelines in this area. James 3 talks about the power of the tongue, and I find my tongue generally gets me in trouble.
I don't think you're alone in that.
Right.
I think all of us have to work on the things that come out of our mouth, especially since we live in a culture where mm-hmm. everybody's encouraged on social media to say anything they want to say, and they never have to face the people or talk to them directly. I think that has reinforced more and more bad talk in people.
For
don't
sure.
you?
Honestly, if it weren't for Facebook, who would I be so vocal to? I say some
true.
Things on Facebook that I generally wouldn't say to a crowd of people.
And think about how we're all doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We have spoken things that we regret, not only on social media, but even in our daily interactions with people, because our tongue gets us in trouble. And I know I've said things that I wish I could take back.
Right.
I don't want to be disparaging people, even if I don't agree with them.
Mm.
Well, James 3, like you mentioned, tells us that we can praise our Lord and Father, but we can also curse our brothers and sisters who have been made in the likeness of God. That's a good point to stop on. Those people that we don't agree with, that are at times being hateful to us, are also made in the likeness of God. And we have to think like Jesus thinks, that Jesus loves those people as much as he loves us. We do that. We curse people on the one side. We
right.
say negative things to them. And then we praise the Lord with our tongue on the other.
The same tongue.
Yeah.
Within the same hour.
And I think that's why God put that in the scriptures, because he wants us to understand that the tongue is a fire. James says, capable of consuming other people. It must be tamed by the Holy Spirit in us. Our speech is a barometer of our spirituality, if you think about it. That's kind of scary, isn't it? What is in our heart comes out of our mouth, and that's what that scripture says. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words often reflect what's in our hearts. And this little tiny small anatomy part called the tongue mm-hmm. is capable of doing great damage, or it can do great good, but it has to be harnessed by the Spirit of God in us.
I love the example. The rudder on a ship is so small, you can barely tell it's there. It steers the ship. And our tongue is the same way. It's a small part of our body, but it guides what we do.
Did I ever tell you my rudder story, my sailing rudder story?
No.
This tells you how important the rudder is, which likening that to the tongue.
Right.
I was on Lake Michigan. I took sailing lessons when I was in high school. And we had our final sailing test. They were small boats, so we had one person on the rudder and one person on the front. And that's where mm-hmm. I was dealing with the sails and kind of directing us. And my colleague was on the back. And we're coming in, and she didn't pay attention. She forgot about it. And the rudder was left to do what it wants to do.
Oh, wow.
And we came flying into the dock full speed, and we crashed.
Sounds
and
like,
the boat sank.
Sounds like our speech patterns.
Yeah.
We let our tongue do whatever it wants, and we crash.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happens. And that was a good picture of exactly what you're saying, that mm-hmm. the more out of control our tongue is, the more difficulty will crash and burn, or crash and sink in that case.
And I think we don't realize how much we need God to help us harness our tongue. And we have to ask for help in this issue.
And I'm trying to be more mindful of that. I'm trying to this year be more mindful of what comes out of my mouth so that I don't say things and then have to later regret them. But I do think that because we were talking about how slander has mm-hmm. become an acceptable norm of our culture, that Christians are often guilty of joining in with that.
Right.
If you look at social media, sometimes Christians can be the worst, and yes. we should not be doing that. We need to check our words before we speak and ask the Lord to help us bless that person and think of a way to bless that person rather than curse that person.
By extension, your fingers are your tongue as well when you're typing away on your phone with a snarky message.
Good point.
It may not just be your tongue. It can make it down to your hands as well.
Yeah, that's true.
With the environment that we live in now, it should be a challenge for us to watch our mouths, especially in the coming days, because this probably will continue, and for our faith, we will be attacked.
I think it's going to rev up. I think it's going to get mm-hmm. more divisive unless Jesus does a work in people's hearts. But listen to Psalm 19:14, because this is a guiding scripture for us today, especially. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Hmm.
Let's pause and meditate on that verse for a moment. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart, what's going on in my heart? What am I thinking? Hmm. What am I feeling? What have we said in our day-to-day conversations with family and friends? Have my words met the standard of Psalm 19:14?
To be perfectly honest, no. I have not met that standard, generally.
I was very aware that we were going to do this show, mm-hmm. so I kept thinking about it. After the inauguration, I was with a lot of people who were very upset by the way the media was handling things,
mm-hmm.
but I tried to focus on the positives and not try to join into that criticism that we're constantly doing. Now, that doesn't mean we can't point out problems.
Right.
But I have to work on this. Like everybody else that's listening to us today, we all need to be more intentional with our words, knowing that we do have the power to curse or bless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about how much words hurt a child.
Right.
Think about all the other areas of our life where if you grow up in a dysfunctional home and you have a parent or siblings who are nasty and say words, the impact of words stay with people a long time. I can attest to that by seeing people in their 40s and their 50s who can still remember every time somebody said something really awful to them. And you can apologize, and you need to apologize if you do that. You can ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you. But the idea of repentance is that we turn from that way, and we need to learn to tame our tongue.
Right.
There isn't a person listening, myself included, who don't need to keep tabs on our tongue.
Right. We've all been appalled lately on TV at what we hear and we've observed in the media and on social media as well. And it doesn't reflect Psalm 19:14 at all. But the same can be said from inside the church. Unfortunately, there are a number of hurtful words said by fellow Christians to each other.
Monitoring what we're saying to each other, monitoring our talk, not just about elections, but when we don't like things in the church. And we've talked about this. We had a show on this where we talked about the things that people fight about in churches.
Right.
And that people get into their preferences and their opinions, and they don't like certain things, and they feel like they always have to say it. But when we express talk that's very negative, we need to ask, is this really a witness for Christ? Because we are his representatives to others. I know when I was growing up, we sang this little song called We Are Christ Ambassadors. And it was our little theme song for youth group. And mm-hmm. I want to be a good ambassador as often as I can. This is why Jesus challenged us not to only love the lovely, not to go for the people who are easy, but he told us to love our enemies as well. Whether it's a politician or the person next to you in the pew or at work, words matter.
That's right. Well, we have our marching orders in terms of what to do with our tongue, and more to come after the break as we meditate on how to choose love over hate. We'll be right back.
The other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out." But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out The Relationship Doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on myfaithradio.com. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Will you choose to love or hate? How do we respond in this post-inauguration season that we have found ourselves in? Dr. Linda, there are several Bible verses that are given for guidelines regarding our speech and our response. Proverbs 18:21 is a great example. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit."
The power of life and death. That's pretty serious.
It's pretty heavy, yeah.
That's telling you that you can build people up or you can tear them down with your tongue.
Right.
I like the one in Matthew 12:37. It says, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Again, thinking about the power of words in terms of what they will do to you and to other people.
Right. I'm still in Proverbs 13:3. "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life, and the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin."
Wow.
That's interesting. Like they say, open your mouth and prove you're a fool. Keep your mouth shut and make everybody wonder.
Here's one from 21:23. "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles."
Wow.
Now that's pretty direct.
Right.
Guard your mouth, guard your tongue, and guess what? You won't get yourself in a whole lot of trouble.
How about this one? "Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Interesting.
That's a guideline that I'm trying very hard to live by, because it's so easy to find complaints and criticisms in people that I want to build up people rather than tear them down. Colossians 4:6 also says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone."
Right. Well, Dr. Linda, we've put a lot of emphasis on the tongue thus far. How do we rein in our actions in this political season?
Our actions are equally important. It's not what you say, but it is also what you do. A lot of times what we do has to do with how we're thinking and what we're really wanting to say. So they're connected. But 1 Peter 2:12 tells us, "Keep your conduct honorable." I think that should have been a bumper sticker during the election. Maybe we should make that bumper sticker, "Keep your conduct honorable."
Oh, wow.
And send it to every media outlet that is out there.
If you put that on your car, you really have to behave.
You have to be good on the road, especially.
Right. That's what I mean. Right.
Keep that conduct honorable.
Yes.
We don't want to be found guilty of doing what we thought was so awful during the election season. We have to resist the urge to retaliate. I think that's hard. In our culture of get revenge.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody hurts you, get them back. We're constantly looking at that. But we have to think that's not a Jesus thing to do. When we want to retaliate, we've got to resist that. And we've got to treat those who treat us poorly in a nice way.
Right. Just this week, my oldest daughter's 9. She left her journal open. And there was a journal entry there right in front of me.
Did you look at it?
Yes, I did. She started spouting off about how her younger sister, Julianne, was being so mean and irrational and all of this, and she asks her journal, "What can I do to get her back?" Her journal happened to answer her with my handwriting. It said, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord," and that's from Romans. Hopefully she'll find that and say, "Ooh, I don't know who wrote this, but that's heavy."
That's good teaching from the get-go. We're going to have to be so intentional with that kind of teaching of our kids, because they're going to hear this in the culture. They're going to see it all the time. They're going to say, "Hit back if somebody hits you. Don't be a wimp. Take that person out." Girls know how to take people out with their words
pretty well. She can take me out. She's 9.
Yeah.
And she's already got me several times.
She's got places to practice, as do we all.
Right, yeah.
Here's the deal. Ultimately, We are to love our enemies. We're going to go back to this. What is the solution? It's not better politicians. It's not nicer media. It's a transformed heart. Our actions are going to reflect a heart change or the lack of one. I love Martin Luther King's reaction of nonviolence to the hate that he experienced. That could only come from God in him. If you watch what happened to the people in the civil rights,
right,
and they sat there and they took this and they took a nonviolent approach, there's no way in the flesh that you could do that. Here's what King says, one of my favorite quotes. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend, and that's the power of choosing love.
That is definitely true and powerful. Would you say, considering the climate we're in the United States today, are we in for a spiritual fight, considering how divided we are?
I think we're in it. And I think that's what people have to do, is they have to put on their spiritual eyeglasses and start to say, all this contention, all this hate, all this divisiveness, who's behind that?
Right.
God's not behind that.
No.
So it has to be the enemy who's behind it. The enemy, whenever there's ground that is taken for God, senses that he is losing ground.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if we're not seeing it, we're not going to fight against it. So we've got to say that our fight is not always against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers that are operating. I believe there's a war in the spirit that is waging right now, and we need to be hopeful because of who Christ is and know that we have the power to overcome that kind of warring spirit that we're witnessing and seeing. I want people to understand that there is a spiritual and a physical battle for our hearts. And when we feel attacked and afraid, we're tempted to retaliate with hate or being unkind rather than with love. This is why we desperately need God, and we need him to fill our hearts. Now is the time to model love, humility, and civility towards one another, whether you like or dislike the new administration. Haven't we had enough verbal attacks and negative messaging? We the people can behave differently. If we want to be great again, let's start by controlling our tongue and making our conduct honorable. I'm going to choose love. How about you?
Yes.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our social media director, Cody Gokenhauer, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a great conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.